Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
So bees' penises explode.
Okay, so the Facebook post I saw was a friend of mine that said when male honeybees mate, their penises explode and they die. And I was like, is this really true? So she sent me a full article on this. So it's like bee porn, really, because the description of this crazy thing, it's, you know, all these bees that go crazy when they find out there's a virgin queen around. So, hold on. Let's just get to the good part.
Oh, I thought being a virgin was the good part.
Oh, not for the queen. Well, she's got, like, literally upwards of, you know, thousands of male bee drone prospect.
Oh, I know how that goes. I feel for her.
The male bee, all right, let's just read the whole thing. He has actual claspers on the end of his penis to grip
the
queen, to grip onto her. And then he enters, and he's trying desperately to ejaculate into her sting chamber.
Bees ejaculate.
Listen up, Gina. As the penis is everted, which it only shows up when he's in heat, the drone becomes paralyzed and does a backflip. You can't make this shit up, as he ejaculates. The drone ejaculation is so damn powerful, the semen blast possesses such force that it's actually audible to the human ear. Apparently, it sounds like a pop. This little exchange also explodes the penis entirely, or rather, it ruptures it from the drone's body, allowing it to remain inside the queen's vagina. But fret not. This mating sign... fret not, Keith. And men listening.
Fret not.
This mating sign does prevent further penetration from other drones. Oh, it does prevent other penetration from other drones, rather just the prevention of semen loss. There we go. And of course, you can imagine the drone bee dies after that. So,
is the moral of the story
aren't you glad you're not a bee?
Is the drone the male?
Yeah, the male.
So the drone
the queen is.
So the drone ejaculates with his claspers, and then he dies.
After his penis explodes.
Well, yeah, after the backflip and the penis explodes.
I mean, I can handle a backflip, but the penis thing is...
Wait.
Yeah,
that's even worse. I want a man who's going to do a backflip after he ejaculates.
Don't they
all? That would be funny to
watch. I think there's some interesting situations in nature where I think the praying mantis, she eats the male after they consummate. Is what I think happens.
That's correct.
So why would a man of that species, the praying mantis, why would a male praying mantis ever get involved?
I think they don't know that
he's that stupid and horny that he's going to do it.
Well, it's instinctual, and I think
he doesn't realize he's going to die.
I don't think they
stupid
talk about
guys
that.
They don't talk. Yeah. Keep it to themselves.
They don't mention that. Or they might, but the sexual power of the female is so strong that they don't care. They'd rather die that way.
You know, and you got me into reading Game Changers, and now I'm like, so we need to have a conversation about this book. I'm so into that book and that whole section about sex. I was like, it blew my mind. And I was trying to share some of this information with our mutual hairstylist about the whole the things
I'm sure she probably can't handle.
Some of the learnings I got about peak performance in general based on men and women's orgasms was astounding.
Keith, have you read Game Changers by Dave Asprey?
I have not. What is the concept topic?
I'm a huge, I would say this book and probably Pussy, A Reclamation of Gina Thomas Hauer, my two tops right now. And Game Changers, is he's a biohacker, and he basically, he was a Silicon Valley, you know, genius when he was young, and then he went on to go around and interview like 400 of the top success leaders in the world and find out what makes them tick. And then he's biohacking to figure out how to be most productive, how to make his brain work as best as possible. And he goes into eating habits, sex habits, sleep habits, all the habits that are best optimizing your brain.
Exercise
power.
Habits, how you should run or not run, and aerobics. And like,
it's a really,
it's
really
such
good book.
A good book. If you look at my Audible, it's those, look at the two books that are the first two books that come up. Pussy and Game Changers.
Yeah. And I've listened to Game Changers probably three or four times because some
you
of it
have
is
to
so,
listen to
so
it more
intense.
Than once.
Yeah, but the basic premise of the sex part is that, and I'll paraphrase because he gets better into the science of it, is that men sometimes get caught up, and I think women too. We get caught up in the finishing point. You know, we get caught up in the orgasm. We get caught up in the climax. And then we miss out on the actual benefit of the entire process. And then he goes a little further into it that some of the Buddhist masters and things they talk about, you really shouldn't be worried about the climax, because for men, it actually weakens you after that happens. So there's part of it that he gets into is that you really shouldn't have an ejaculation except for once every 7 days for optimal performance and lengthening your life once every 30 days. Yeah. But not to be so caught up in, I got to have an ejaculation every time I have sex. But that's kind of the, you know, typical scenario of what people think is supposed to happen.
Well, like, what was also interesting is that the less you, and I don't think this is the show yet, but anyway, the more time that goes on for a man not to have an ejaculation increases the testosterone. And what ends up happening is that increase in testosterone increases performance in general with everything else, but also attracts more women. It's that kind of like those pheromones are going out there because of the higher testosterone as a result of not ejaculating.
Keith?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent... actually, I've read some stuff. I haven't read this book, but you get into topics like a tantric approach to a physical relationship. And for men to learn how to separate orgasm from ejaculation... that, you know, there's a lot to that. So this is going to be very interesting to read. I mean, I think a lot of people approach the bedroom or with as a goal oriented approach instead of an intention and communication oriented approach. Mm-hmm. And they approach it from a sexual perspective instead of a sensual perspective. Two totally different ways to look at things.
Yeah. So this is not really our episode today, Doug, by the way. What are we talking about today?
I thought it was orgasms or ejaculation.
What better topic could there
be? Oh, God. We should have that episode follow the one about your period.
I saw the period one comes out on July 4th.
Yes.
What better day?
Yes. And trust me, it was very strategic.
Because no one's going to listen to it? Is
it's
that why?
Just a quieter week.
Oh, God.
Or you could look at it as fireworks, or you could look at it as independence. How are
we? Maybe we should switch it and put the orgasm one on July 4th.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Why are you resisting?
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again, two against one. Are we talking about orgasms?
Well, I thought we were talking about Game Changers and all the things that you can do.
Okay, we could talk Game Changers.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of, I mean, there's so many levels to what Dave Asprey talks about in his book. The nootropic drugs is another interesting, and I had a really hard time with that section at the first time I listened to it, because he goes into these brain enhancing drugs and some psychedelics. Now, as a sober person, I definitely don't think I would never say never, but I don't think that I would go into the hallucinogenics because it's probably not a good idea. But some of the brain enhancing drugs, it's interesting. There's a movie, and I just so happened to have watched it before I listened to the book again recently. It's called Limitless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great movie if you haven't seen it. And it goes into this guy. He gets a hold of some of these, like the earlier versions of these nootropic drugs, and it kind of doesn't go well, obviously. But the thing that's cool about it is he figures out, like, he suddenly takes this pill and he's not high, but he's super aware, and he, like, finishes his book, and he starts to evolve in terms of his thought processes, and he just goes on to these crazy, amazing things. But, you know, what if I took a pill that didn't make me high, but it made me be able to focus better, that I could finish writing that darn next book, you know, and some of these nootropics, one of which is coffee.
Okay. I'm going to pause you for a second because I feel like we have a theme here all the time when we do this threesome thing that we start talking. And so I think we have a theme of, like, when the three of us are together, we do a rogue show where we just start. So I'm going to call it the rogue show. So it's that time of the show to do a very informal introduction to Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, where the three of us go rogue. I'm Gina Tremarco, owner, operator, founder of Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. And on to you, Rachel.
Rachel Pitts, mom, realtor with BRG, and many other things, including creator of The Closing Curve.
And how about the man behind the mic?
I'm Keith Walters, and I build great companies, and it is so wonderful to see you ladies.
What are we talking about today? I think what we got into, because we start to improvise these conversations, we were talking about Game Changers, the book, and Rachel talks about it all the time. And then I was finally like, let me listen to it. And I just started because I don't read. Thus, for anybody who doesn't know, Rachel has a book. She gave me some hell for not reading her book. Not really. She just questioned me. And I'm like, I don't read. I listen. So we're both into this Game Changers book. And I think this might be a good theme. I think we can fill time with this concept. And you have read the whole book several times. I'm only a portion in.
Oh yeah, you'll love it, and Keith, you'll love it, and anybody out there who cares at all about maximizing your productivity and maximizing your time and just performing at your best, whether you're an athlete or you're in business or you're just let me remove the word just, or if you're a stay-at-home mom and you just want to maximize your energy. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's so many good tips, and as I've started going on and on, I'll go on into any of these subjects and go on and on forever about the nootropics, about sleep, which is probably my worst downfall. And at the very end, the one thing that he says is his biggest takeaway, that the author of the book, from all of the interviews of people, is the main game changer is gratitude.
Yeah. Which is something Brené Brown talks a lot about. Like, if you want to get to joy, it really starts with gratitude. And so it's kind of interesting. I like his approach because he's interviewed so many different people, 400 plus people, every walk of life, I mean, from shamans to scientists to, I mean, so many different people that have introduced to him different ways to change the game. But he's not just doing that interview and that research. He's actually like walking the walk. He actually experimented with everything, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost all of the nootropics. Oh, and he is great about disclosure of what he has tried and what he hasn't tried. He's very open about the experiments that he did in terms of the sexual stuff.
with the permission of his wife, Dr. What's her name?
Dr. Awesome Sauce.
Yeah. she's willing to put up with that.
Yeah. And you must not have gotten to the part where he gets into stem cells and how injecting stem cells into certain parts of your body can enhance performance.
Oh, I have not. I'm not there yet. I just...
Whether it be your knee or you're not your knee.
Nope, I just got past the whole section on sex. Which I found fascinating because when we think about, I mean, this is nothing new. Any kind of aerobic activity is going to create a release of different hormones that have an impact on your body. So that's nothing new when it comes to sex, but it was really interesting. The game changer. I tried to talk about this to a guy about, like, if you don't ejaculate for 7 days, it's really good for you. He was not buying that.
Well, and also sometimes, like Keith was saying, there's like a performance and a like a an expectation sometimes when people go into sex that it needs to be this or I'm not, you know, that. If I don't ejaculate and it doesn't end up this way, then I'm less of a man or what have you. Or same with a woman. If I don't have an orgasm, then I'm less of a woman. But if the approach is more of an experience, then people don't walk away from it feeling bad about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of problems in the world of sex because people have that expectation going into it.
Well, I find it interesting because it's completely, when it comes to the sex piece of it in the book, that it's kind of opposite approach between men and women, right? It's like men, you don't need to orgasm. Women, the more you do, the better.
Holla.
And I think that is such, like, why do not more people know about that? Because this would improve relationships. Because I'd be like, babe, don't worry about it. It's all good. I got it. Don't worry about it. Just saying.
Well, again, it's one of those subjects that are so taboo that people are afraid.
Like taboo, like having your period.
Well, people don't want to talk about things that they think will expose weakness or make them feel less worthy or something. When they explore a subject like that, they might find out that it's all good.
Keith, as usual.
Keith, I can't wait to hear what you have to
say. Keith, any thoughts so far? No. Okay, so Keith, I love, you know what? Keith is such a strong...
Did you dim the lights over there?
What is that supposed to mean?
So just for our listeners, just so you know, we do this on video. We are going to put these on YouTube one day. We use a video format so we can see each other. So while you may not see us, it's how we are able to record by seeing each other's faces. And what's funny is watching Keith, who's a very smart, articulate man with a lot to say, but for some reason, he just goes quiet with us a lot.
I have nothing to add to the conversation yet.
Oh, that's fine. That's what Keith said. I mean, that's your tagline, but whatever. So back to you, Rachel. Anything else that stands out in the book?
Okay, you got past the sex section, or did you?
No more standing up, standing out. Hey, Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look. And sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy. And maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say, something looks different about your face. But they can't really tell because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look as good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrofacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit dermavogue.com and tell them that the Women Your Mother Warned You About sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out.
The other section that I found really got me was the one about sleep.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, and I think we've touched on this in previous episodes, about how destructive lack of sleep can be to people's brain function. And I mean, I speak from experience of spending several years of functioning on like 4 and 5 hours of sleep at the very best, due to too many jobs. And it's just not, it's terrible for you. And I think society has a turning point now of people in higher positions of productivity are realizing that they need more sleep so that they can optimize. Whereas it used to be like work yourself to death. And some of these people that Dave Asprey interviews, one in particular is the woman who created Huffington Post.
Arianna Huffington. That's a well-known, she hit, her head hit the desk and she had to go to the hospital.
Yep, she was working herself way too hard, and then she came to the realization that, you know, she just needed to back off. And what's interesting is people like, I mean, when I was functioning on 4 or 5 hours, I was still getting stuff done, but I think I was not realizing that I was kind of a zombie, and I definitely probably could have performed better. But sometimes you just do what you got to do, and doesn't mean that it's a good idea. So now people are realizing that more sleep is super important. And he goes into how bad it is, the different types of light that are being emanated.
Oh, that was my favorite. The effects
from
of
your
light,
phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why it's important, the colors of the light. And mm-hmm. it has to do with your brain gets confused yep. with blue light yep. at night.
And red light. Red light for the sunrise.
Right. The blue light makes your brain think it's still daytime rather than the red light at night kind of easing you off because it feels like sunset. And that's why you can buy these red glasses and, you know, red lights at night and all this stuff. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I recently saw a presentation, not this guy, but another speaker who spoke on the topic. And he had thrown some statistics out there that were just amazing around sleep. And, you know, needing 7 to 9 hours on a regular day, but he also had some stats about impact of lack of sleep on teenagers. And one of the stats he threw out was that 1 hour of sleep loss for a teenager below 8 hours has a 58% increase in suicide ideation. And so, you know, the need for sleep changes a little bit as we age, but you know, teens especially need a lot of sleep, and our systems kind of go against that. And then one of the, you know, kind of getting back to the sex talk, you know, the point that was made by this person multiple times was your bed is for two things and two things only. It's not for watching TV in, it's not for reading in. It's for two things and two things only. And if you do more than those two things in your bed, then you're training your body not to sleep in your bed.
That's interesting.
And Gina, one of the other things is that going along with what Rachel was talking about as far as the light, but you know, no use of the video or mm-hmm. TV screen or anything for an hour before bed. And
yeah.
And you might want to start reading a real book was one of the things he said.
Well, I mean, it's true that's a big one. Without getting too personal, there are people who can't seem to go to bed without a TV on, and they claim that they need the TV on in order to go to bed. And I don't want to take that away from them, but I gotta wonder What is the true impact on those people who say, I cannot go to sleep without the TV on? That's an issue I've always had. I cannot sleep with the TV on, mostly because of the light, not necessarily the sound.
Right.
And after reading this book on that chapter in particular, last night specifically, we've got this Nest system in our house, and it's wacky because I feel like the government's watching me or something, but the light goes on and off every time I move. It's like some kind of motion detector that notices my movement. So every time I roll over, this blue light goes off and it makes me fucking crazy. And it disturbs my sleep. And so finally last night, after listening to this book, I put like a blanket over the thing, whatever the thing is, because I threatened to take it down and someone told me I couldn't. So I put something over it so that I no longer see the blue light emitting. And it made such a difference. Like I can't handle that whole blue light. But I think people who sleep with the TVs on, swearing that that's the thing for them, they don't realize the impact it's having.
Yeah, the other thing is, does it impact your sleep patterns? Because, you know, that's when your brain repairs itself in the deepest moments of sleep. There's four layers of sleep, and in the third layer of sleep is where your memories are built, and your fourth layer of sleep is where your brain repairs itself. And do you ever get down to those troughs? Or, you know, you're always being disrupted.
I know I hardly ever get down to those troughs. It's bad. I admit it. Like, I don't sleep. Sometimes I will. And I know it when I sleep really, really deeply. It's one of the, you know, a night when I go to sleep and I wake up and all the time went by and I didn't even hardly move. And that's when I think I get to that deep place. But I sleep really lightly. And I think that's a mom thing. Since I had my child, I sleep really lightly. If there's no one in the house at all, I'll sleep like the dead. If my child is in the house, if my husband is sleeping next to me, I sleep really lightly. I wake up at everything.
Yeah, that's not a mom thing. That's a parent thing, I think. Because I went through the same thing. But, you know, there's some technology around sleep, like these weighted blankets. I don't know if you've seen the weighted blankets that you can buy now. These bed chillers. And then you talk about the lighting, like Philips has a bulb called the Hue bulb that you can change the hue or you can program the hue for different times. You know, there's all kind of things you can do. Make it as dark as you can, you know, make it cold yeah. like a cave.
There's a light that in Felix's house, since we have the two house issue still, which is, you know, a great problem to have sometimes, his air conditioning system has a blue light and it shines. It's really bright. And I keep going, I just need to get a piece of duct tape and put it over it or a blanket like Gina did, because it's a bright blue light all night long, and it doesn't go off. It just stays on. It's the air conditioner.
Oh, that makes me crazy. I can't do it.
Yeah.
This came up in Game Changers, and I did this yesterday after reading it. It's called The Power of When. Have you done this, Rachel? Mm-mm. So The Power of When, it's actually a quiz that you can take at thepowerofwhenquiz.com, and it's what's your chronotype?
Oh,
so it.
I didn't take
it. It talks about what's your chronotype, because there are different. We have these different types of what kind of sleepers are we, and so one is like you're either a bear. I'm trying to look through this now. I ended up being
lion,
a bear, a lion,
a wolf, and a dolphin.
There we go. A wolf or and at first I thought I am for sure a dolphin, and then I took the quiz and I'm like I'm a bear. Which a bear is like what like 50% of the world is like kind of on this normal sleep structure. But it's interesting to look at those four different structures of those four different chronotypes, because are you working to your best capacity? Are you doing your best performance based on really what makes sense for you from a sleep perspective? And he talks about that in the book, that he's better when he gets up at 8:45 in the morning. And one of the experiments is, and I did this morning, sleep until you wake up. Because that's going to get, for 1 week, sleep until you wake up, because that's going to tell you what your body needs. And you might be a better performer at night versus during the day, right? And so when you look at creatives, most creatives are better at night than they are during the day on getting work done. So instead of subscribing to this is the expectation, these are the norms, work within your chronotype of what makes the most sense for you. So I thought that was an interesting quiz. And I was surprised I came up as bear. I'm going to do it again. I don't believe it.
I'm going to actually take the quiz, because the first time I listened to the book, I was like, oh, for sure, I'm a lion.
Uh-huh.
And I know, like, my daughter is a wolf for sure. Her dad is a true wolf. Like, they would stay up all night and sleep as late as possible. And that's the the wolf. But then the last time that I listened to the book, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm a dolphin, because sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and work for a few hours because I can't sleep. And then I go back to sleep and I like the morning and I wish I could have a siesta. And a dolphin is the one that's kind of sleeps.
Right.
You know, has really irregular patterns. So I'm not sure. So I'm going to take the actual quiz.
Yeah, take it, because I thought for sure I was a dolphin, and then I took it and I turned out to be a bear. And I really am still struggling to believe that. But
what was the most interesting thing about that whole situation is what he, the author of the book, mentions, that, you know, we're programmed to think that, oh, the early bird gets the worm, and you should be getting up getting up early. And I actually preach that all the time, like, for instance, to my husband. But he's a bear. He sleeps hard, and he sleeps a lot, and he doesn't like to get up early in the morning, but he's super productive. So I just have to, like, let him be what chronotype he is, because that's what he is. He's got the sleep thing down.
Well, and what's interesting when he talks about the early bird gets the worm, because if you don't get up early to get the worm, there will be no more worms. And that's how most people think. And you need to kind of change that thinking.
Doesn't demand for worms go down during the middle of the day, so there's more of them available?
He may have mentioned that. I mean, that might be part of it too. It's maybe you don't need as many worms. I don't know. You should take the quiz, Keith.
I will do that. I've got it down to buy.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, are we really going to get him to read a book we suggest?
And then of course he goes into the last section of the book, talks about meditation and gratitude and all of that stuff, of course. And he says, you know, it was one of those overreaching themes that in interviewing all of these highly productive people and successful people and what have you, that he said they didn't have to say meditation. They could say whatever the heck they wanted to say, but a lot of these people did mention that meditation was really important. And I totally agree, of course. And he goes into the fact that it's also hard. Like, meditation is hard to do in today's world that's overstimulated. But that doesn't mean that it's still not a really good idea to try to get into it, even for short periods of time.
Keith, do you meditate?
In a sense, I do. Not from a traditional perspective. But you know, there's the idea that anything that puts you into an alpha brainwave state is a meditative state. So in that sense, yes. Every day.
What do you do?
A series of exercises I do first thing in the morning. That's kind of mindless, but okay. I do it only in the dark with no sound, and kind of lose my point in time reference while I do it.
Well, I mean, he talks about that in the book about getting to an altered state of mind. However, you're going to get to an altered state of mind.
Right.
And that, I think that's really what the theme of the book is of altering your state of mind. You want to talk about the drug portion of the book, Rachel?
The nootropic drugs. Again, there's a whole different gamut of these different types of drugs that are brain enhancing and help with focus. And he goes into some of these hallucinogenic drugs as well. And really interesting section on LSD, which I am not saying is a great idea. It's just an interesting topic that he talks about, and that some of these thought leaders have microdosed LSD, not like fully utilizing it so that they are tripping balls and like trying to jump off a roof, but a micro dose of it for an enhanced brain experience. And it's interesting, but he's very specific about if you're going to try any of these type of hallucinogenic brain altering states, that he always does it with, you know, supervision of some sort. But then there's the nootropic drugs that are just like focus enhancing and brain optimization.
It's interesting. He was talking about going to a party and there were all these like influential leaders there, and he started, nobody really wanted to be, he's interviewed all these people, but nobody actually wanted to be put on record for it. But most everyone that was like really successful and high performing had experimented in some way with some version of those drugs, but didn't want to talk about it. But there, that was a correlation that he was able to kind of look at that and look at how that actually can impact performance. And Keith, you seem to be like nodding your head, like you're like, yeah, I'm so familiar with that. Not that you've done it. I'm just saying that it looked like a familiar conversation topic to you.
Yeah, the person who was, this was actually a Vistage speaker, was talking on the same topic and talked about the microdosing. It was an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the number one thing about it is, number one, some of these drugs are illegal, so nobody wants to be busted right. for doing something illegal. There's that. But there's also the perception of society of using any kind of drugs or mind-enhancing things whatsoever. And Dave Asprey goes on to point out that back in the 80s and 90s, he had on his LinkedIn profile, if LinkedIn existed that long ago, probably not in the 80s, but early on when LinkedIn exists, let's say, that he had mentioned that he meditated. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like a woo-hoo, mm-hmm. like laughable thing, yeah. Maybe even 10 years ago, that people are like, oh yeah, that's one of those hippie people that meditates. And now everybody's coming out and admitting that meditation is crucial. Once Oprah condones it, everybody's all yeah. in. But, and he's saying that in the future, some of these brain enhancing drugs and nootropics and what have you are going to be a little more commonplace and won't be so out of the norm. I mean, look at the fact that, medical marijuana is now acceptable in some parts right. of the United States. That's taken some time for that to come about. Again, you can have your opinions on that, whatever which way it is, but slowly but surely it's being a little bit more acceptable in society.
But he also talks about another form of nootropics is caffeine, mm-hmm. right? So it's not just about LSD and hard drugs, and there are legal mind-altering, brain-enhancing drugs that you can do. Caffeine is one of them. He went into a whole thing about nicotine and how impactful nicotine can be in that regards. I don't think that means you need to smoke a cigarette, but there's a variety of things that can alter your brain to a higher performance. There was a moment of listening to the book where I was like, where do I get my hands on some of those things?
Oh, yeah. I've researched some of them, and it's one of those things that I haven't pulled the trigger on some of it yet, but I'm certainly that and watching the movie Limitless, which, it's totally a bit fantasized, but like going, I wonder how that feels, just to have a little bit more focus, because you've had those days.
Yeah.
Everybody's had those days where like, I'm super focused and I'm getting it done, and what's that perfect mix of what I ate that morning and how much sleep I got and what happened the day before, and did I exercise, did I meditate? Like, that's creating that perfect storm of productivity, and what are things that I can add or take away to my current existence to get that experience more often.
I think that's the key of it. When you look at the summary of the book of Game Changers, it is, what are all the things that you can do cumulatively to have the best possible performance, from sleeping to eating to brain enhancing drugs to exercise? Like, it's taking all of those things and putting them together. And I remember posting something on Facebook not that long ago. I mean, I've been kind of slack, but I'm not as consistent as I want to be, but my best mornings are when I get up and I journal and I meditate and I pray and I write and I work out. Where is it? I actually keep it on my desk so I remember to do all these things. Oh, when I plan my day. So planning my day comes last. But I have like this daily routine. When I follow that daily routine, it's so amazing. And I posted something about it and someone said, oh, it's your miracle morning. And I had no idea what they were talking about. But then from this book, Game Changers, he talks about someone else's book called Miracle Morning. And that's really, those things are part of setting up your miracle morning. And the most successful people follow that routine.
Did he talk in his book very much about the impact of stress?
Yes.
And stress.
Yes.
Stress is the opposite side of the meditative thing, or some of these others, because mental stress is one of the biggest impacts on health.
Yeah.
In the U.S. and probably everywhere. But there's nothing there. It's all mental. It's all self-induced impact on our own health.
But that means
that the flip side is possible as well.
Right. And he talks about this at length, because how stress impacts your brain, impacts your hormones, mm-hmm. impacts everything that it emits, is what leads to autoimmune diseases, which leads to, like, that is like your downfall. Stress could destroy everything.
But stress is not physical. It's all generated in our own mind.
Right. But the thing is that our brains are wired for fight or flight.
Or freeze.
Yeah. And because that's part of our DNA, mm-hmm. that's what creates the trauma, because the brain is just, the brain is so wired for fight or flight that it doesn't understand anything other than that. And so you almost have to rewire the brain to get out of fight or flight mentality.
I'm going to keep on saying freeze. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And freeze is really important, because this is the deer in the headlights. This is the, you get stuck with a question.
Yeah.
You get somebody comes at you with, puts you on the spot, maybe pulls a gender thing on you, and you freeze. You don't know what to do. So yeah. Sorry, I won't go away from that.
No, I like that.
But it's amazing how the things that your body can do. And if you start working on those positive aspects to balance it out, the meditation, the exercise, and all those, yeah. that's your body controlling itself to a degree.
Exactly.
And then one of the challenges that I've always had with that is, how do you differentiate between stress and pressure? Pressure being good, stress being bad.
Mm. So, I haven't finished the book, Rachel. Does he get into that?
I don't think he does, but that makes a good point, because it seems to me that the pressure of a deadline can sometimes be good, because it gets you going towards your goal, but it's the stress that we put on ourselves that's the bad part.
Yeah, so there's a fine line there between, you know, because I enjoy high pressure. It's when it turns negative, it's when it's stress.
That's a good point. I don't mind pressure. Pressure actually inspires me and motivates me.
Yep. I love a good deadline. Yeah. I like pressure too.
Stress makes me want to cut a bitch. Just saying. Call the popo. Put me away.
Well, and stress is what causes people to cut a bitch. And that's usually, it's not because of whatever the bitch is doing in front of you. It's all of the other stress that's underlying that. It's our response to some of the pressure, or
correct,
not being able to deal with situations, and it's stuff that bottles up that suddenly you're out there cutting a bitch when it's really not this bitch's fault.
Right, because it's all underlying. It's everything that we carry with us, and there are triggers that come up because of someone's behavior or actions that bring up other shit that we have to manage and deal with. And but it's up to us to remove ourselves from those situations that create stress. Because we allow it to happen. I mean, I am so guilty of that. I allow shit to happen and for people to stress me out. Or let me rephrase that. I allow people's behavior to cause me to stress myself out.
There you go. And that's where the journaling and writing down your gratitudes and your happiness and so forth can balance that out. There's another person who comments on this. His name is Sean Aker, and he has a great TED Talk. And he's funny as can be. I've seen him in a couple of conferences as well, but he talks a lot about gratitude and happiness and journaling those items, and how over a period of time doing that on a regular basis can increase your happiness. It's at the same time as what it's doing is reducing your stress.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing about gratitude is a lot of times we stress ourselves out. Like, I can speak to it right now. I'm all stressed out because so-and-so deal is supposed to close and this is that is supposed to happen. And I'm all stressed out about how I want things to be. And as soon as I pull myself back and I'm grateful for what I already have rather than what's not going the way I want it, then it immediately simmers me down and just like, it's peaceful. Because, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast in a free country, then that right there is enough reason to be super grateful.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're listening to this podcast at all, that means that you have some sort of a device in your possession that you are lucky enough to have. You know, there's so many reasons, and we, a lot of times, with all the things and the things we want to achieve in our ambitious lives, we forget about the fact that we should be grateful for the people around us and the fact that certain people are still in our life with us and the moments we have with our children. And, you know, there's just so many things that if you have eyes to see and you have air to breathe, you have reasons to be grateful, for sure.
Always. But I think you have to take the time to practice that. And when I get away from it, I can feel it. I can feel the difference when I get away from it. I'm going to create like a really cute little sheet that we can like have as a download of like everything you should do in the morning.
Gina's Miracle Morning.
Gina's Miracle Morning. The Miracle Morning of the Women Your Mother Warned You About and Keith.
Well, and the concepts are so very simple, and you can find them in 1,000 different personal development books of how you should simplify your morning and do your thing and not like roll out of the bed with the alarm clock at the last minute after hitting snooze 6 times and jump into your day. It's a real, real bad idea, and it doesn't go great. And it's so simple, but the simple things are sometimes very hard to do consistently.
And let's talk about who's guilty of, and this is something I'm working on. I'm getting really good at it. Who's guilty of like rolling out of bed and looking at your phone? There's a lot of you out there doing that. Like you like literally start your day by looking at your phone and checking everything, your email, your social media, your calendar, like.
And that's a sign of addiction.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's why I try to look at my calendar before I go to bed and go, okay, what's up tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So that I can set my day, because sometimes, like, I typically don't do meetings on Mondays, but every now and then I have one, especially if that's the client's preference or especially if it's a prospect. But my brain is so wired to not have meetings on Monday that I can so easily fuck that up, that if I don't look at my schedule every night before I go to bed, it could be a dangerous situation. And there are days where I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize that meeting was tomorrow. So that I have no other reason to look at my phone when I wake up. I try to wake up and not look at my phone, and not for the first hour. I try to have a routine where I'm like, I get up, I make coffee, bullet coffee, by the way, which is funny because that's a big part of Game Changers.
Mm-hmm. Bulletproof coffee. Yeah,
and take the dogs out. Do all of those things before I do anything, before I even look at the phone. Because the second I look at the phone, I'm stressed out by shit that has to happen that I didn't really realize that wasn't part of my agenda.
Yeah, I remember having a client, and now I will, for full disclosure, I do look at my phone first thing to see if there's any messages that are urgent from people in my life that aren't in my house. But I have trained myself to not look at email because it just is like there's nothing good there to be found at all. Usually it just makes you feel overwhelmed or there's an emergency. Yeah. But I remember having a fitness client. And she was so stressed out, and just all we were trying to do was reduce her stress level. And I remember asking her, what's the very first thing that you do in the morning? And she said, this is the worst. She said, I get up, I pick up my phone, and I check the bank balances.
Wow.
And it stresses me out because she's thinking about.
That would stress the fuck out of me.
Can you, you know? So that was like the bulk of what I did for her as her fitness trainer was to try to develop a different habit first thing in the morning than open up your phone and check the bank balance before you even drink coffee. Like, yeah, it was a bad one. But I definitely need to wean back off of that. But I have gotten myself to, I don't check email until later in the day after I've done my important things in the morning.
I like the checking your bank balance thing, but not immediately. Like, no, in all seriousness, because I track revenue daily, it is something that I do because it reminds me of like to make shit happen. Like, oh, there's no revenue today. And so that pushes me, but not first thing in the morning. That would like send me into a panic attack. I love Keith's faces.
Keith, so what's your morning routine?
So my morning routine is I get up and the first thing I do is I get on the floor and I do 40 minutes of exercises. And the only time I look at my phone during that period of time is to turn the timer on for a couple of the exercises I do, but I will not look at anything until I get through that. And that can
I want to be like you when I grow up.
My day.
What kind of exercises?
Core. So crunches and sit-ups and push-ups and planks. And now
you should do a video.
In the dark.
You should do a video for us to put on like our Facebook page.
You can't see what I'm doing, but this is what I'm doing now.
I like the idea of doing it in the dark, though, because you're actually not overstimulating yourself out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it needs to be dark and quiet. And I used to, my current bedroom is hardwood floors, but prior to that, I had a bedroom with carpet, and I wouldn't even stand up in the morning. I would slide out of my bed onto the floor and then start my exercises.
But that's the video I wouldn't want.
But you know what?
The slithering.
But that might be for some people, that's what they need. They have such a hard time getting up. And it's like, if you're like, I just got to slither out and
well,
do it.
Yeah. And for me, what happens is I could be like dead tired, but you know, Rachel, you know well, right? 10 minutes into some exercises, you know, things are pumping and blood's moving and you're awake. And you haven't been startled awake.
What things are pumping?
My heart.
Oh, right.
Blood is moving. Blood is moving to the appendages needed.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, well, and here's the bottom line in this Game Changers book when you pick it up. Everybody's different and you're going to have a different way of doing things. So what can you do to make yourself more productive and optimized? And maybe what you're doing right now, if it's not satisfying, if it's not working for you, then play around with some of the things that you find. And maybe you need to change your sleep patterns. Maybe you can you can switch your work schedule a little bit. Maybe you can start doing your exercise in the morning or at night. You know, there's just so many options because we're all wired differently.
So much great stuff in this episode. I think, and I'm still not finished with the book, but it really gave me some, I think I alluded to this in a message to you earlier, Rachel. I'm like, this really made me start thinking about like the approach of what we've been doing on this podcast of giving information on how you can be better, not just in business, but in your life. And that was my biggest takeaway from this book. So something for a discussion, but it's time to wrap up this episode of things you can do to make some changes that increase basically overall your success. Any big takeaways from either one of you on this?
So my big takeaway is for any of you gentlemen listening, just be grateful that your penis does not explode.
Ever, hopefully. I think that's a big takeaway.
It's a big takeaway. Be happy you're not a bee.
And my big takeaway is that I don't have to eat my husband after. Because I like having him around.
I guess my big takeaway is the more orgasms you have, the better.
Amen, sister.
As a woman.
As a woman. And it's okay to tell your man, it's okay, baby. You don't have to. It's all good. It's better that you don't.
Oh, God.
This was another episode of Going Rogue with this threesome of women your mother warned you about. I'm Gina Tremarco with Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. I really am very good at what I do, even though I'm rogue. And other things you need to know, check us out on womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, where you can find some really cool downloads and all the information you need to find out about us. Rachel, let's hear about you and then pop it over to Keith and then we will go find some bees to kill.
We don't need to kill the bees. Actually, we need to save the bees. They can handle that on their own. I'm Rachel Pitts. You can find me all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate. And you can also find me at rachelonrealestate.com and grab your free How to Buy a Home Guide at theclosingcurve.com. On to you, Keith.
I'm Keith Walters, and you can find me by going to the womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com website. look about us, and you can find the connection to my LinkedIn.
Awesome. And everybody, don't forget, Warners, we love your ratings and reviews. So if you get a chance, I know it can be a little complicated. Go over to iTunes, give us a little review, give us a rating, whatever you want that to be. We'll take it, because the more ratings and reviews we get, the more people will find us, and the more that keeps us out there. So that's it for this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. We got to go. So bye, guys.
Bye, Keith.
Bye, ladies.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.